There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 780, January 28th, 2019. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say greetings and racing regards from Dakar, Daytona, and Nando is the big winner. You must be happy, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Fernando El Machismo wins Daytona 24 hours. Citroën with Ogier wins Monte Carlo. And of course, 2019 will be Vettel's big test to see if the testicles are big. Of course, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know, you'll want to. Anyone who donates $100 or more gets a F1 Weekly coffee cup. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I am a little bit under the spell of Florida flu. But on a positive note, the sun is coming up and life goes on. How are things on the left coast?
The things are wonderful because El Machismo is back in town.
Yes, sir. A rainy night in Florida and Fernando Alonso has now won Le Mans 24 hours, Daytona 24 hours. I want to see this hombre in Dakar and then in the Indy 500. And then I want to see him in the Baja 1000 with Robbie Gordon.
I'm telling you, the Machismo is back. And, you know, you give him a good car, and it's happening. And I'm telling you, I don't know if you watched any of the 24 hours of Daytona, but there was some cautions, there was some phantom debris, and then I liked it when Fernando, there was the second red flag, Fernando decided, you know what, I'm going to go have a chit-chat with the pace car driver.
Yes, he is the king. He can do whatever he wants. And, you know, because of some unavoidable circumstances, I was going to take a day off on Thursday and go there, but unfortunately that could not happen, so I ended up going just Saturday. So I was there for the start of the race, had a great time being on the pit road and all that, watched all the festivities, the driver parade and all that, and Nanda was looking very, very happy. But of course, I stayed away from him because he is a special kind of guy. You don't want to approach him unless you're told. And so far, I have not received a come-on-over gesture from his camp. But that's another story. But this is a great event, great track. And I have to say, every time I go to Daytona, of course, for the 24 hours, a pit stop is pretty much a tradition now at Cracker Barrel for mighty fine breakfast and the finest in Florida grits.
Bravo, 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 bravo. Well, next year they will have a new breakfast called the Fernando Grand Slam.
Whoa, wow. Yeah, that will be something, huh? Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm planning to go to the Indy 500. I hope he, you know, puts on a big... It would be fantastic if he can win Indy 500.
Listen, if he wins Indy 500, LCH is going to have a cow.
No, by the time he wins Indy 500, I think LCH will be sitting on like 86, 87 Grand Prix wins. So he's not going to have a cow.
86, 87 Grand Prix wins against no competition. I mean, it's not exactly exciting.
Well, you know, it's how you look at things.
Yes, I mean, Bottas is really going to push him this year.
Yes, and yes, we will talk about that in a few minutes. You know, Bottas just took part in a rally. He's got fire in his eyes. He's coming after LCA, I'm telling you.
Okay, Rubotas.
And LCH is giggling all the way to Compton.
So true. So true. So true. Yes. I mean, you know what? I have to give it to LCH. The planets have lined up. All he has to do is show up to work.
Yeah, just like Roscoe in the background there.
Totally.
Can you believe preseason testing is less than 3 weeks now?
Of course, it's the end of January. We're getting ready now to go into the car unveilings. And yes, time goes by fast. That's why we are old.
And I believe that the Toro Rosso, who's the first one to unveil? Toro Rosso, right?
It's always Toro Rosso.
Yeah. And so it will be very interesting. And but, you know, I think what we're going to see this season will be more of the same. We all know Star of Stuttgart will be shining very brightly, and Prancing Horse will be trying very hard to gallop to the front. Now, what I want to ask you is this. Do you think all eyes will be on Seth's new teammate, and how do you think that relationship and rivalry will pan out as the season develops?
Let me put it this way. LCH will definitely get another championship. All eyes are on Leclerc to see the cage rattling and the big lack of performance from Ferrari. It's going to be dumbfounding to the Tifosi that they've done it again. And I don't know what to tell you, but Vettel is in what you call a heap of trouble.
Because of his new teammate or because of the spaghetti culture?
Spaghetti culture and... Unlike LCH with great timing, a nice, wonderful teammate, and a great, great company. You know, the spaghetti culture is going to bring down Vettel. Because unlike Schumacher in the 2000s, Vettel is not bringing that je ne sais quoi to Ferrari, where they all get together, they hold hands and love each other. It's just not happening. And we'll see what happens. I mean, now Arriva Ben is out, so they're starting the season with a new team principal. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, we knew there had to be some changes. But, I don't know. LCH, he's going to be so comfortable. Back from Compton. Just did a couple of sessions with the rappers. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great stuff.
Well, you know, talking of Michael Schumacher, Michael Schumacher had a group of people, including him, who were all very, very high-caliber people. Jean Todt, Ross Brown, Rory Byrne, Bridgestone had a race team, test team, and a tire team. So they had a lot of things going. And here we have now with Sebastian Vettel. I mean, the guy is seeing a new team principal every 16 months.
Oh, I agree with you. That's my point. I mean, he is on the back foot compared to LCH. Like I said, the Jesus loves LCH. Everything is set up for him to win 7, 8 championships, where everybody else, they're just struggling. I mean, like you said, a new team principal again, a new teammate. I mean, it's never ending, and it's upsetting because now Vettel has got to look up ahead at the back end of the Mercedes, but then he's got to look on his side to Leclerc, who's going to be, he's not going to be a Kimi Raikkonen, we know that.
Oh no. But I think, you know, it will be very exciting to see if Charles Leclerc can be as quick as his 4-time world champion teammate in preseason testing. And if that is the case, we may have a 2007 McLaren season at Scuderia Ferrari in 2019. And I think this is a tall order for Leclerc, but he has the pedigree, your favorite word, and performance to make it happen. But, you know, I mean, just like Schumacher, Seb did not win 4 straight championships just based on good Teutonic looks. So I expect him to be a very strong challenger to Leclerc. But I have a feeling that Seb's new teammate will have more wins this year than his old teammate last year. What do you think?
I don't think so.
I think Ferrari package will be very strong. I think there will be more harmony. And I think they're going to have a lot of wins this year. And I expect Charles Leclerc to have more than one win.
Wow. I mean, if Charles Leclerc has one win, I'll be stunned and I'll be really happy for Ferrari. But unfortunately, I think out of the box, Mercedes is going to make a point. Unlike 2017 and 2018, where Mercedes sandbagged for the sake of Formula One and its viewership, I think this time they're going to say, you know what? We're done playing footsie. Let's just get this thing done quickly.
Yeah, and you know this driver who was a DTM champion for many years, and I believe he raced in Formula One also, Bernd Schneider. He was at Daytona, and I had a brief chat with him, and I asked him about the Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc situation, and he agreed that, you know, that Charles Leclerc is going to be more of a challenger than Kimi, but he also said, you know, Seb has a lot of experience and is still very quick. So it will be interesting how this rivalry... one thing that will really go for Charles Leclerc, he has nothing to lose. And we have seen how Sebastian Vettel can be rattled very easily. And I remember when he got pissed off at Jean-Éric Wern in a Toro Rosso many years ago when he was at Red Bull. But anyway, you're very high on the silver car, and so am I. But I think Mr. Bottas must rattle the cage of Lewis Hamilton. And I think he has more of a challenge and bigger headache than what Leclerc faces. With the performance he had last year, a car that did not win a race, and his teammate won the championship, plus Esteban Ocon hanging in the Mercedes feather, I think Bottas will really feel the heat this season. And he needs to do a Button. Remember when Button went to McLaren when LCH was there and he won a couple of races before Lewis did? Which obviously is easier said than done. Do you have any hope for Bottas that he can rattle the cage of LCH?
No, he's incapable of rattling the cage. He's had two opportunities. He missed it. It's not going to happen. His first opportunity was pretty good. The second one was pathetic. And unfortunately, Toto has already told him, hey, Ocon is going to replace you unless you do this, this, and this. So I think... the problem, it's already, the virus is in Bottas' brain. He already sees Ocon. He knows that he won't be able to beat Lewis. He's already planning to drive for Super Aguri in 2020.
No, it could be Williams. But you know what is really scary in a positive sense is that Lewis Hamilton, with or without winning another championship in 2019, may have more than 80 Grand Prix wins after the season is over in Abu Dhabi. And you know what that means. On his way to being the most successful Grand Prix race winner of all time. And these are amazing times we are living in after the 1973 season. Jackie Stewart's record of 27 Grand Prix is now a very distant memory. And I thought at that time, because that was the first year I started following Formula One, that nobody's going to have more than 27 Grand Prix wins. And here we are in an era of zero kablamos that you can win 10, 12 races and still not win the championship.
Well, yeah, zero kablamos, zero competition. So, I mean, the worst thing Lewis Hamilton has to worry about is Danica Patrick's shoe.
In Montreal?
Correct.
Well, he had very good competition this year from Sebastian Vettel. It was not all... like it was in the days of him and Nico Rosberg. So you cannot say he won races without any competition. And there was also Max at his heels in a few races.
Please.
What do you mean, please? You don't consider Max as a real threat?
He's Honda-powered.
Well, he will be this year, and that's another story. Okay, now we come to the Red Bull Zone. Talk from Dr. Marco and Christian Horner. Amazingly, these two people and Cyril Abitbol, they are still throwing shoes at each other. I mean, when will this end, you know?
Never.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Now with two teams, both under the same umbrella, Honda must deliver performance with reliability. It will be great, but I do not see it happening this year that Max will be fighting for the championship. I do expect a few wins from him, especially in the rain. And he has a new teammate in Pierre Gasly, a position DC described as the least desirable seat in Formula One. I actually put Gaston, and I hope I'm wrong, but I put Gaston in the same boat as Bottas. must get to the shore ahead of his teammate on a regular basis, or it will be a case of drowning in the sea of Formula One, which can be very choppy with its own Mariana Trench. Do you see Pierre Gasly doing some damage to Max in terms of performance?
The biggest problem is the car. Dependability, reliability, drivability. I mean, if they both are driving a piece of crap, it's going to be a sad state of affairs. Unfortunately, the pundits are going to say, oh, look at Max, you know, we're not getting what we deserved, instead of saying, look at Gasly, we're not getting what we deserve. The problem is now Max is at the front of every journalist in motorsports to do something exciting. And there's the pressure on Honda. And if they don't deliver in testing or what have you, there's going to be, I think there's bigger problems whether Gasly is teammates to Max. I think we just got to focus on watching Honda develop with Red Bull.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, I don't know what data Christian Horner and Dr. Marco are looking at, that they are so upbeat that they have, you know, more power than Renault and they can challenge for wins. Maybe they do, but it will be I hope it happens, but it will be kind of a surprise to Honda have utmost performance and the reliability to match. Normally, you have one or the other, and it takes some time to get, you know, both sink in. So I just, as much as I would like to see, I just don't think it's going to be, you know, Max Verstappen on pole position in the first, or on the front row in the first five races, and he finishes all five races on the podium. It can happen, but I will be surprised.
Yes, I mean, I'll be surprised. I mean, I'll eat my words. I'm ready. I want to eat crow. I want to be wrong more than anything else in the world. I really, really do.
And then, you know, if their package is not reliable or quick, then I'm going to see what Christian Horner and Marco and Max have to say, race in, race out, like they were throwing Renault under the bus.
That's the big fun. This is the big fun about this whole thing. I mean, they've already digested so much crap that what can they come up to say when they fail to actually qualify in the top 10? I can't wait to hear what Christian Horner has to say.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised by Monaco. Cyril Abitbol is singing, "Who's Sorry Now?"
So sorry.
And, you know, there is another rivalry that I'm really, really looking forward to. Not just a rivalry, but a couple of situations. Because I think for two drivers, this is a make-or-break season. One of them is Nico Hülkenberg, and the other is Lance Stroll. The Hulk has dusted all his F1 teammates for the most part. Highly rated from junior ranks, Esteban Gutierrez was no match for him at Sauber. You remember that. And McLaren's new numero uno, Carlito, did not trouble Nico too much as teammates at Renault. You know, I remember when Carlos Sainz Jr. was announced as Renault driver teammate to Nico there. Nico was asked, are you worried about your new teammate? And he very confidently said, no. So, and, you know, results have proven that Hülkenberg had the upper hand for most of the time. But now, Nico Hülkenberg has Daniel Ricciardo, a proven winner. I think Danny Rick will be quite a match for Nico and then some. This may become a close but clean fight between the two Renault teammates. Both are professional drivers and do not have a history of argy-bargy driving. I don't think this relationship, even if they are very close in time, in terms of speed and time and results, I don't think this will become as nasty as Ricciardo and Verstappen and Senna and Cross. What say you?
I completely agree. Hülkenberg is a consummate professional. He's been there for a long time, waiting for his podium. He's going to be focused on his drive and beating Ricciardo. I think they're going to be very close. I think it could be Ricciardo one day, Hülkenberg the next. It's going to be very, very tight. I think the focus will be developing the Renault chassis. And that's why Ricciardo is going to be so important in the developmental stages of the chassis. I heard that they're not going steering by wire. They're going the old school. They're doing so a lot of changes, and I think Ricciardo has a lot to do with that. So we're going to see what happens, but I think Ricciardo's input in terms of engineering is going to be crucial. And unfortunately for Hulkenberg, I think the cars now are going to be built around Ricciardo's style, but that could be a winning combination.
Yeah, and you know, the new guy they hired from FIA, Marcin Butkowski, he's singing a lot of praises about the new Renault engine. So it remains to be seen, you know, how powerful it is and how reliable it is. But they did win some races with Red Bull, so they, you know, hopefully they can also trouble Ferrari and McLaren, Ferrari and Mercedes. That'll be fantastic. Okay, now the other driver that I'm going to be very interested in, and I'm, of course, interested in all drivers because, you know, I'm a racing fan and we don't want to see anybody fail. But, you know, for every winner, they're going to have 19 losers. Anyway, the other driver in on my radar is Lance Stroll. He will have to prove a point that he has the talent to be in F1. Good to see him in a competitive package with veteran Sergio Perez as teammate. Sergio did well as teammate to both Button and Hulkenberg, and Lance, now, you know, driver for Team Pepito, must blow him away to prove he is the Maple Leaf version of Max Verstappen. I wish him well. I think he will surprise a lot of people with his speed, but I do not see him dusting Checo, at least this season. Your thoughts?
Well, the good point is, I don't even know what they're called. Is it Force Point or something like that?
Racing Point, and I think they will change the name. Actually, you know, I'm sure all our listeners in Toronto already know that their car will be on display at the Canadian Auto Show next month in Toronto. And it's extremely, extremely cold there these days, by the way.
Well, good for them. But I know one thing. They have what Carl Sagan said, billions and billions. So I think the team is going to take advantage of the billions. And this could be an interesting challenge this year for whatever they're called.
No, you know, with all the money that's being put into this program by Lawrence Stroll, and, you know, he won. Well, he is a very successful businessman, and I'm sure he wants to be successful in racing also. You know, his blood and sweat is driving one of the cars. And the team has always done very well with limited funding and all the problems they had with previous owner. So I think this team could be a big surprise of the 2019 season.
I totally agree. If they use the Mercedes package well, like they have in the past, they should be in the top five in terms of qualifying.
Yes, and it will be great to see them win a race, you know.
Let's not get excited.
Well, I am, but, you know, hey, one can dream, you know. Dreams are free.
I understand. My dream was granted this past weekend.
Good, good. What happened? Did you get a call from Fernando Alonso?
I did.
Well, that's good. And, you know, talking of Lance Stroll, this is amazing, man. This Russian driver, Nikita Mazepin, his Pepito is in the same financial league as Lawrence Stroll. And he is taking a maple leaf from Lance Stroll and Lawrence Stroll. It was just in the news today that he has signed a private Formula One testing program with Mercedes. So they'll take a 2-3-year-old car and go to different tracks around the world. And I was just thinking, you know, almost 10 years ago, I was talking to a manager of a young talented driver who was trying to get a seat in GP2 at that time. And he told me that it's about $40,000 to $50,000 per day of testing in GP2. That was back then. So my guess is testing an F1 car is probably going to cost around $150,000 or something like that. And this kid is going to go. I think Lance did like 20 days of private F1 testing. Can you believe these
spoiled brats?
Yeah, but as long as they are quick and win some races, I think it'll be all right. Okay, sir. Now we come to. You know, like Jimmy Morrison used to say, you know, I've been down so low or something like that, it looks up to me. So on that same program, we have McLaren and Williams. And according to Zak Brown, their 2019 car is very different than the 2018 model. Let's just hope it's different in a very fast way of, you know, moving on the track. Now with your hero, superhero Nando gone, it will be a great day for the team if the two young whippersnappers can bring home top five finishes in the pre-European season races. I do expect rookie mistakes and run-ins from Lando Norris, all part of Welcome to Formula One, but there is a lot of at stake here for Carlos Sainz Jr. If he is outraced by Lando, who is a very serious young talent, it will put Carlito in the same boat as Bottas and Barrichello. Number two, and loving it. But with all the changes going on at McLaren, heads rolling and James Key coming on board this season, it's not going to be at the start of the season because he has not yet been released by Toro Rosso. I think we're going to see a much better car from them, especially compared to Williams. Now, I know that's not saying a lot, but we just, you know, as a race fan, we'd like to see these teams try to come back to where they should belong, if you know what I mean. But as far as the Williams is concerned, you know, I am concerned about them because they have a lineup that is made up one rookie, who's a talented young kid, George Russell, and an experienced driver from many years ago who does not have full use of his right arm. And obviously, we wish Robert Kubica all the best, but only time will tell how this betting will work out. And like I said, the only way for both teams is up, and the marketing genius that is like Brown, I think he should bring Bubble up as a major sponsor if they cannot do a big deal that they are trying with the real thing. Your thoughts on these two teams, sir?
Trouble, trouble, trouble. You know, I'm going to have fun with it. Let's see how Kubica does. I agree. George Russell better be on his game, and I suspect that will happen. I think this is the last time we'll see Kubica in a Formula One car. He'll do the season, but he'll realize that he must retire.
Yeah, at least retire from Formula One. He can come to Daytona, you know, and race with his buddy who just won the race.
And Machismo?
Yes. Okay, the Torpedo is back. Daniel Kvyat will have a Thai racer, Alexander Albon, as his teammate at Toro Rosso. Another chance for Kvyat to stake his place at the mothership in 2020. With all this his experience, I think he will have the Zahin at Toro Rosso compared to his teammate. And interestingly, both of them are recycled racers at Red Bull. Albon is getting his second chance with Red Bull, and Kvyat is getting his third or fourth chance.
No, I agree. Whatever. I mean, you know, Toro Rosso, we'll see what happens. They're just a bed for Red Bull to figure out why Honda is not performing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think they will be guinea pig for Red Bull and Honda. And whatever Honda needs to try on Red Bull, they will try it on Toro Rosso, make them take penalties and see how it works out. But do you remember some years ago when the season started in Australia? I think it was Kamui Kobayashi in the run-up to the first corner came in T-bone. I believe it was Nico Hülkenberg. Do you remember that crash?
Of course. Kamui Kobayashi, Fernando's teammate.
And so I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be amazing? Race starts and Sebastian is on the front row and he gets speared by Daniel Kvyat.
Bravo.
Then he will say, I told you this guy is a torpedo. I think it was last year in the press conference, driver's press conference, somebody mentioned the torpedo and Lewis Hamilton goes, who's torpedo? I think Ricciardo or somebody explained to him, Sebastian called Kvyat a torpedo. Funny stuff.
It is funny stuff. Let's not even bring up the cucumber.
Oh, yes, that's my other favorite. You know, he's racing in Japan these days.
You mean Nakrain Kathakayan?
Yes, sir. He's been racing in Super Formula and other stuff.
Is he sponsored by Gatorade?
He's sponsored by something, you know, maybe some Indian veggie drink.
That's good. IndianVeggieDrink.com.
There you go.
There you go, Nass. Keep up the good work. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial after these brief messages.
Hi, I am Takuma Sato. You're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And just for you, today, the first stop in the spinning globe will be once again Daytona 24 hours. Your man won. His teammates were, like you said, Kamui Kobayashi, Jordan Taylor, Renger van der Zande from Netherlands. And they were driving for Jordan Taylor's daddy's team, Wayne Taylor Racing Cadillac. So good for them. And you know, it's interesting. Alonso now becomes the third Formula One world champion to win this race, the other two being Phil Hill and Mario Andretti. So he is achieving great things, and we wish him all the best.
He is in good company. You have to admit it.
For me, regardless of whatever he wins, I will remember him as the man who did the impossible, dethroned the Red Baron, and then defended the title. Very, very impressive.
And now, doing this after a great career in Formula One, and still knocking him down.
No, no, this guy is an incredible racing talent. That has never been doubted. I remember, man, I'll never forget watching an interview with Paul Stoddart when he was driving for Minardi. And I've read this in other places also, that the Japanese Grand Prix he did at Suzuka in the Minardi, Paul Stoddart called every lap a qualifying lap. So if he can do that in the Minardi, I mean, you know, it's just very sad that he didn't drive the Red Bull that Seb drove. He did not drive the Mercedes that Lewis drove. But then, you know, according to Christian Horner, wherever he goes, he brings chaos, which obviously totally refuted by Flavio Briatore. But, you know, we all have our opinions.
Bravo.
Shall we move from Daytona to Dakar?
Please, exciting.
Oh, yes, very exciting. Really enjoyed it. And this year it was 100% Peru. All the action took place in Peru. A man from Qatar, Nasser Al-Attiyah, was the winner for the third time. Very impressive. This time driving for Toyota. Now, Monte Carlo Rally, which is probably one of the first two motorsports events I started following. There were three before my interest in Formula One. And they were Monte Carlo Rally, Safari Rally, and the Acropolis Rally in Greece. So Monte Carlo won, and your homeboy won. Would you like to announce that?
Yeah, exciting. Sebastian Ogier won in the Citroën. Sebastian Loeb did not. I believe he finished fifth. But the fight between Neuville and Ogier was very exciting. Thierry Neuville in the Hyundai. It was great. It was very exciting. And it was down to the finish. I believe it was the closest finish in Monte Carlo rally history.
Fantastic. And Sebastian Ogier is now back home again with Citroën, right?
Yep.
Good, good. Okay, from Monte Carlo, we go to Santiago. Formerly our favorite, one of our favorites, Sam Bird, was the winner over Pascal Wehrlein. And have you heard this news? Baby coming for JB. His girlfriend is expecting, so JB is going to be a papito. And he's racing in Japan, of course. And he will be, apparently he spends a lot of time. His home now is apparently Southern California. And who can blame him for that choice? Now, this is very, very important information, sir. I'm sure most of our listeners know this. Schumacher name returns to Scuderia Ferrari. After a lot of, you know, this will happen, this will not happen, when it will happen. Mick Schumacher, who last year won the F3 championship in a very impressive second half of the season, he has now joined the Ferrari Driver Academy. So, which really tells me that if he performs in Formula 2, which he's competing in this year, it's only a matter of time before we again see on the Ferrari Formula 1 car M. Schumacher. Wouldn't that be a day?
It's a bit eerie, to be honest with you, to see M. Schumacher on a Ferrari in the near future. I don't know. I mean, it will give chills to people. Frisson.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Let's see how he performs in Formula 2. And that will really set the, if he does well, if he wins 4 or 5 races in Formula 2, then I have no question that he will make it to Formula 1 as with the Ferrari or, you know.
Come on, just say it. You mean he's going to replace Sebastian Vettel?
Wow, one German replacing another German now.
Achtung, was das los, my Herr?
Oh yes, the train and Ferrari will depart on time. We'll see how it goes. Okay, now more sad news for Bottas. I'm beginning to feel sorry for him. By the way, you know, I've been watching a lot of YouTube racing action. You know, I have to do that. I mean, you know, when there's no racing, Formula One at least. So there was a documentary on probably CNN Europe, but it says CNN. They visit his hometown, Nastola, where he organizes a triathlon, duathlon, or something like that. So it's like a 20-minute documentary on YouTube. On Bottas, very nicely done, very nice, a lot of interviews with him, a lot of chat. And so if anybody is interested in feeling, you know, have a soft heart corner for Mr. Bottas, please check it out. But anyway, he's being told, Wiedersehen from Vihuri. More bad news for Bottas, his longtime sponsor from Finlandia, the Vihuri Group, is bailing out on him. They are involved in packaging, and their CEO, Mr. Arnio Vihuri, stated that while he understood being teammate to LCH is not easy, he was not too thrilled to see their driver finish fifth in the championship. I think drivers like Bottas and Ericsson should approach Michael for sponsorship, and that was Zinger of the day. You know what Michael does.
See.
But I think, you know, for him, Barrichello, the perfect sponsor is Avis Car Rental. Number two, and loving it. And talking of number two, have you seen the news item about Eddie Irvine?
No.
Helping out? Here is a guy, I mean, how embarrassing it was when Michael Schumacher broke his leg and he was like fighting for the championship. Michael missed a few races. And when he came back in the Malaysian Grand Prix, he took pole position and let Eddie Irvine pass him not once but twice. And there's a guy fighting for the world champion. He has now said in an interview with some magazine or some publication that when he was racing, there was nobody who could run with him except Michael Schumacher. He thought Alesi and Berger were just a joke.
Wow.
Well, he does not remember that Mika Hakkinen beat him in the championship.
Well, that's okay. He's in his senior years now, and he's, you know, I think it's okay if you remember your past.
In glowing terms. By the way, Eddie Irvine has done very well financially, especially in the real estate market in Miami. Apparently, he has built a lot of big homes and done very, very well. So, good for him. But, you know, there's way more Dasfi Dania from another long-time sponsor. This time for Nico Hülkenberg, his sponsor, Detra. They used to be a sponsor of Michael Schumacher. Do you remember when Michael Schumacher used to come in press conferences wearing a Detra cap?
Of course.
Let me tell you what happened there. Before he broke into Formula One, his management, Willy Weber, thought they did a great deal by signing Decra to a multi-year, I think it was like a five-year deal, and Decra was going to pay them €50,000 every year. And of course, he makes his debut at Spa and is, you know, overnight Formula One sensation. So after a couple of years, they tried to cancel that contract with Decra, because they knew they were not going to pay more money. So they, trifle polite manner, asked them to cancel the contract. And they said, 9-9, we have 3 years to go, we must go. So they got a lot of mileage for $50,000 from Michael Schumacher. I think this Michael at that time probably could have received $1 million from some big company. I mean, he was such a big draw. So we'll see how far his son goes in terms of these things. Now, Pascal on a prancing horse. Ex-F1 racer Pascal Wehrlein will be Ferrari's simulator driver in 2019. During the season, he will also race in Formula E with the Indian Mahindra team, as he did in Chile. And two other ex-F1 drivers are doing similar duties. Sebastian Buemi for Red Bull, and he has been with them for a long time since they kicked him out of the F1 program. And Esteban Gutierrez for Mercedes, which is kind of interesting. Now, Porsche men at McLaren, we were talking about revolving door at Ferrari. After Jos Capito from Volkswagen, Eric Bouyer from Lotus, the revolving door at Wolken now bring in Andreas Seidel. He was previously head of Porsche's WEC program, Wolken Unit Championship, that is, and also worked for BMW Sauber F1 team. At McLaren, he will be in charge of F1 operation and will report directly to Zak Brown. All I can say is, Mr. Brown, you've got a lovely engineer. Let's see some podiums, please. Sometime this year, as we mentioned earlier, James Key will also be joining McLaren. So if they don't have a quick car this year, now, past few weeks, there was chatter on the internet, which continues to this day, that McLaren will announce a major sponsorship deal with Coca-Cola, but we have not heard anything yet from Portland on this. This is my thing, you know, putting an F1 car on every Coke can and bottle sold in the U.S. will definitely raise F1 awareness in the U.S. I will switch from Diet Pepsi if Coke gets involved in F1 in a very big manner. And Mr. Rogers, you can show your support by switching from Perrier to Dasani. Now, talking of corporate Americana, did you see the news that came out it's more of a rumor that Liberty Media is looking to sell F1.
Yes.
You think there's any truth to that?
No.
I don't think so. And there was even mentioned that Bernie Ecclestone, now 88 years young, will buy it back. But I don't think this will be happening. Okay, sir, now some news on Asian F3 Winter Series, which I enjoyed very much, thanks to YouTube. Round 1 of 3 took place at the Buriram Circuit in Thailand a few weeks ago, and this is the circuit where they do the Thai MotoGP race. And we have the fourth coming of Schumacher in this series, David Schumacher, son of Ralph. Rinus VK was the winner in race 1. Dan Hickton started from pole but was DNF. Rinus VK, that is, was the ProMaster champion in the US last year and went on to win race 2 also. Chinese driver, whom we interviewed a couple of years ago, Yifei Yi, was second with Schumacher third. And apparently there's a Hungarian girl racing in that series, Vivian something. I heard that she is the girlfriend of David Schumacher. So very interesting there. Okay, now Max in Marrakesh, the Dutch wonder boy, Max Verstappen, was paying his dues to the society for shoving Esteban Ocon at Interlagos after the race. And he was sent in to work with the stewards of the Formula E race. And he was happy that he did this. But, you know, as always happens, some people were not happy that this was not much of a punishment, or they were just doing this to promote Formula E. So I guess you can never make all the people happy all the time. Unless you are Fernando Alonso.
Or?
Todd Rogers.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, we haven't done a moment in motorsports history, so may I proceed with your express written consent, sir?
The text is in the mail.
Okay, thank you, sir. Here it comes. Moment in motorsports history, a look at the 1968 very historical South African Grand Prix, which took place on New Year's Day at the Kyalami Circuit. Times were such the night before the race, Jackie Stewart and Jim Clark went to a drive-in movie together. Imagine Lewis and Sebastian doing that today. Never, ever happen. Back to South Africa in 1968. The opening round of the season saw a command performance by Jim Clark in his Lotus. He took pole, set the fastest lap of the race, and in winning the race, broke Juan Manuel Fangio's then record of 24 Grand Prix wins. Unfortunately, this was the last F1 race Jimmy would take part in. 3 months later came the Formula 2 race at Hockenheim Ring, which turned out to be Jimmy's last ever race. This sad event saw the Formula 2 debut of another driver who would also leave a big mark in Formula 1, no pun intended, and we're talking about driver, of course, Max, as in Max Mosley. Thank you for listening.
And I believe he finished 13th that day.
Oh, wow. That's his lucky number, huh?
Exactly. But it could have been better. But I heard that after finishing 13th, he quickly went home and went into the basement.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, I knew it was coming. Surprise you didn't say he whipped a new one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't help it, you know. But he was goose-step. The thing was, he was goose-stepping all the way.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Kick him on the up. Kick him on the down.
Thank
kick
you.
Kick him all around.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, we still can have some Max Mosley fun.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
So keep up the good work, Nass. There you have it. Like you said, we're slowly getting into the car unveilings. Vettel and Leclerc, I think, is really going to be the talk of the town.
And, you know, I just heard that, I don't know if it's the first time, but Sky TV in UK will be televising live the preseason testing. So,
wow.
I would like to catch that on the interweb. That should be fun. I don't know if ESPN, apparently ESPN will again do Formula One races commercial free. And, you know, the feed from Sky TV, which,
yes,
you know, enjoy this.
Also, I have to admit that NBC Sports Network did a great job on the Daytona 24 Hours.
Yeah, NBC, I think, did a very good job on the Formula One coverage also.
Absolutely. So I enjoyed that. It was great. Thank you, NBC. Keep up the good work. I hope you were treated well. Of course, you're getting prepared for, well, we have Sebring, and then we have the first race of the IndyCar series coming up at St. Pete.
Yes, you know what? The interesting thing about Sebring is this. You know, the Sebring 12 hours sanctioned by IMSA will take place on Saturday. On Friday, they will have the World Endurance Championship race. So what I'm going to do to try to get the interview on race day is, you know, almost impossible. I'm a little short on time now in terms of vacation, but I'm going to save as much time as I can so I can take a Thursday off to go to a Sebring and maybe Friday off to go to IndyCar race. We need a big portfolio of new interviews, you know, a lot of new talent coming up.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work, Nas. The paycheck is in the mail.
Yes, sir. So there you have it. You know, it's I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the new cars. Hopefully they look good. Hopefully they sound better. And as long as we have close competition, I think we'll be in for a great season. I think, and this year we have like 21 races, right?
Yes.
And apart from race in Vietnam, now there is a talk of a Grand Prix in Philippines. I mean, what are these people thinking? You
know? Well, I think they're going to use the old Clark Air Force Base.
The Subic Bay. Apparently there is already some sort of a racing facility there.
Yes, but that was for racing Jeeps.
Yes.
And the trophy was called the MacArthur.
MacArthur? Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised. I am very surprised with all the oil money they have not gone into Angola for a Grand Prix.
You're surprised? I'm not surprised. Anyway, there you have it. I'm going to like Frank Sinatra end the show. Nas, keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.